Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's PPSC work group call, on Wednesday the 13th of October. We have J. Scott Evans, Avery Doria, Jonas Soinenen. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Cheryl Langdon Orr and from Sabaya. So please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, J. Scott.
Right. This is J. Scott Evans, and I am the chair of this group. I would like us phone near the phone because I'm getting feedback. I would like to power through. We only have one comment we need to consider. We did send around to the group a revised version with suggested language to cover the decisions that those on the call made last week. Marika, is that the version you have on the PowerPoint, the one that we edited again and sent around?
This is Marika. Yes, that's that version.
So it has everything. So what I would like to do today is just to power through point 7, then consider the notes sent around by staff regarding cross-community groups, and then send whatever we come up with around to the full list for consideration of the specific wording. Given that there are so few of us here today, I think that would be a little bit more efficient and effective. And then once we do that, then do a call for consensus after we give a period of time to take in list comments. That okay with everyone? Aubrey, you have your hand up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I have my hand up for a possible agenda item.
All right. You please mention it now.
Okay, yes. There is a issue going on in the COTS working team of the OSC. That's the Council Operations Team.
All right.
And they are in the process of dealing with a bunch of issues in the SOI-DOI.
Okay.
Since we have adopted their work wholesale, I wanted to alert this group to the issue, and if the group wants to actually, I can spend a little bit of time explaining what's going on and what some of the issues around the edges are, but I certainly wanted to alert the group that there's going on in that area.
Well, can we go ahead, since that was one of the comments made by one of the commenters, that we've already covered that area? That was the IPC, I believe, made comments with regard to SOI and DOI. So why don't I just give you the floor and you fill us in?
Okay. So there's three different issues that are being dealt with in that group at the moment. One is that DOIs should have to be written. Even though the rules say that they have to be written, there's certainly been a lot of community irritation and displeasure at that. So they're looking at making a change on removing the requirement for them to be written. Two, there is a requirement in as it's written that there be polling of each individual for an update for SOI, DOI. A lot of people have complained about that, and in fact, most groups have reverted, whether it's the council or groups, have reverted to just, does anybody have a change to their SOI, DOI to make as a group question with people answering it? So that's a second change that they're proposing be made. There's the third issue has to do with whether staff members are participants, and when the rules say all participants must do an SOI-DOI, whether that includes the staff. Discussions are going on with legal about that. There seems to be an approaching suggestion from the working team that full-time staff should not have to do a SOI as long as the staff declares, staff that works for us speaks for us, and anything else is not to be assumed. And B, that perhaps, though, declarations of interest if, for example, some staff member was also involved in the IETF or the IGF and participating in policy issues, that they might want to be invited to mention that just like everyone else is invited to do a DOI.
Well, do we know what the policy is with regards to staff disclosing? What if you have an investment in one of the companies that could be affected by the decision of a group?
Great question. That's indeed why as soon as someone read all participants, so now we've gotten one missive from legal that has basically said staff are not participants, they are staff. And some of us have argued, myself included, staff are participants, they just have different roles and responsibilities than the volunteer participants, you know, but there's various kinds of roles. There's chairs, there's liaisons, there's this, there's that. They all have different roles and responsibilities. And, in fact, if you look at our work, we've always described roles and responsibilities of the staff members participating in a working group.
Okay.
So it's going back and forth. Your question is a good one, and that is an open issue that is still going on between legal and the group. There's a procedural issue also that I must confess to being the main irritant in, which is whether this has already been approved by the council, and my question is whether the COTS working team can unilaterally recommend these changes to the council, especially when another group, not in the OSC but the PPSC, has adopted these things and integrated them in, or does this require a wider conversation, or does it require something that the GNSO is talking about now but hasn't resolved, which is the issue of the OSC, PPSC, and all of their subcommittees blinking out of existence, and a new standing committee to review the implementation deals with new issues, the SOI, DOI possibly being one, but the larger issue of who's going to deal with all the implementation, you know, nits and issues that come out, especially since there's going to be complicated combinatorial effects of a proposal that was made for council members has been accepted for all participants in working groups. If you change it in one place, you change it in the other, you end up with a divergence of paths. What goes on? So that's the issue quickly.
Okay, then I would suggest, Marika, I'll call on you next, that we just put a footnote that says that this portion could change based on the work that's currently undergoing in that group. And then, Marika, would you like to speak?
Yes, this is Marika. Just on the issue of, indeed, staff declarations of interest, I know, indeed, that our legal team is looking at that, but, you know, just for the record as well, you know, we do sign disclosure of interest as well as part of our employment agreement. So there are, you know, those kind of things that, you know, staff does have to disclose to Icon as our employer. Just on the note of the SOI language in the document, because there we do, you know, state specifically that this language needs to be cross-referenced and updated once OSC, GNSO Council have finalized the language. And just, you know, the idea was there as well that actually this language in the final product, once these working group guidelines get incorporated into the GNSO operating rules, that actually this language wouldn't appear here, but it would just be cross-referenced. So it would refer to the specific paragraph that the GCOD and then the OSC and then the council adopts. So, you know, maybe to clarify this, maybe it would just be easier to remove the language here and just note this is a placeholder for the language on the SOI and DOI that's being developed by the GCOD OSC to be cross-referenced when ready and adopted. Maybe that makes it easier for people to understand that, you know, we haven't developed this language, and, you know, make sure as well that people are aware that, you know, there's no need to, you know, involve different groups or edit in different documents to get the same, you know, the end result, you know, of what the GCOD currently is doing.
What I would suggest is we don't remove it at this point, but we highlight it when we send around this next draft in yellow or in a different color, and we suggest that might be one solution. Avery?
Yeah, just want to check. So basically what this group is saying, and not that I'm necessarily liaison, though I am serving as vice chair and primary irritant of the other group, is that we are basically, as a group, saying we're fine with anything they do to this.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that's sort of the attitude we did take in the past.
I don't know if I'd say we're...
that we're giving them carte blanche to say, go do your stuff, we think it's cool.
And then if we have a problem, we'll participate in their process, our constituencies, through the comment period.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think this is what we did in the past, and I think this is what we should do now as well. And, like, that work is ongoing there, and this is something else, what we are doing here. Though these are related, we can always participate there. By the way, for the recording, this was Jon.
All right. Well, there we are with that. Marika, did you understand my plan is to highlight that in some color and suggest what we might do in the final session?
Yes.
Okay, so that the people on our list will know this is the language we're thinking of. All right. Let's talk about number 7. Now, when I talk about number 7, that's the issue setting forth which recommendations should be mandatory as opposed to guidelines. I'm going to open this up to the group.
So this is Jon. I mean, like, we just have written a document which is called GNSO Working Group Guidelines. So I guess there it's guidelines, the whole document. There might be something that we would like to emphasize maybe, but that would be then I think that if we would like to do that, then we would have to go through the document and basically use some keywords like must or shall or something like that. But what I've understood from this work, we're just doing guidelines, and so nothing is really that mandatory now, is it?
Well, it's what I understood was that these were sort of more like best practices guidelines that we're developing. Now, if the GNSO wants to take them when we've developed them and say that they're mandatory, that's up to them. But we were sort of putting together a rough framework about if you did these things, we believe you would have the most efficient and effective working group. So,
right.
Aubrey?
Yeah, I actually got my hand up before you spoke, but I think I tend to agree with you. I think at this point, the best thing to do, given that one size does not fit all, as proposed guidelines.
Yeah.
I think that when somebody writes a charter for a group and says you will operate according to, that is the decision of the chartering organization to decide to what degree these guidelines must be followed and how they go about making objections or exceptions.
What did you just say? You said you think it's up to, because I'm going to volunteer to encapsulate our response.
Right.
So you said that, would you go through your rationale just one more time so I can...
Right, basically my rationale is that, and it's similar to what you said, it's up to the chartering organization,
yes,
when they write the charter to call out these guidelines and to indicate to what degree they are mandatory or not, and the process by which any exceptions would be made.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd go through the hell that Jana said, and in each line we have to decide, is this a must, is this
right,
a should, and what do those words really mean?
Right. Okay. Well, then I will volunteer to do the little response on this issue, and I'm going to put that at the beginning of the document since it runs pervasively throughout the document. This idea of whether it would be mandatory or whether they're okay, is that all right with everybody? Hearing no one screaming, absolutely not, I think we're done. I think I will add this little bit to the beginning of the document, and then we can post it to the list, Marika, maybe today. And then I would suggest that we give it 7 days for the list to respond to this draft. Then once that's done, I'll make a call for consensus, which would be sometime after the 20th. which I will leave open for 7 days. My goal is to have this thing closed up by the end of this month. Does anyone, so we can deliver it by the end of this month to the PPSC? Any objections to that little loose timeline?
Sounds good.
Well, thank you. Oh, we have one more issue. I'm sorry. We need to
get
this cross-community issue. Now, Marika, since you're the one that wrote the note, for the record, would you put forth the staff's feelings on this or comments or suggestions?
Yes, this is Marika. If I can just come back 1 second to the previous comment that's listed under 7. You know, it has the catch-all phrase of, you know, setting forth which recommendation should be mandatory as opposed to guidelines. But if you look down into the PDF document that highlights the different comments, there are also, you know, two other ones that suggest clarification or additional language. If you want, I can pull it up here.
Yeah, tell me where they are.
If you give me 1 second. I think we're here. If you scroll to the end of the document that's up now, the last page, I think comments C and D go a little bit beyond the, you know, the header of this chapter as such, as, you know, the mandatory versus guidelines. So maybe the group just wants to spend a moment just looking at these two and see if any further changes are required. These are also highlighted in the relevant sections in the document itself, but I don't know exactly that quickly where they appear. But
I think that INTA's comments are so. I mean, you would think they all write Treasury regulations for the United States government and the Internal Revenue Service. That's a specificity with which I think would make these things not fluid enough to survive the fluid and ever-changing environment, which is the policy development process within ICANN as it matures. So I will just, that's my comment to the group with regards to C and the fact that we need to say who a chartering organization is and do all that. That's just crap. That's just something for everybody to argue when somebody else uses it and saying, well, you're not a chartering organization, or specifically defined, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on, if we're going to argue over what a chartering organization is, we might as well go home. Comments? And with regards to funding, we've said that you should scope that out, but what are we supposed to do with regards to everyone stamp your feet and pout if the board says you're not getting any money? That's comment D in 7. So I think I'll be free to address those as well, so that they, because they also were the ones that were very clear that they want a response to each of their points, so I'll make the response back. That way, but you can never call me out. If anybody ever sells me down the river, my constituency, I'm going to get you in your sleep. So
we are recorded, you know.
That's fine. Nobody
okay.
The 5 people who listen to this because they have no life, I'm not worried about.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. No, I feel very much on the same lines as you do, and maybe not kind of with those exact words. But, yeah, I think that we have to be – I'm like, there's a fine balance of being too specific and to have something usable. And I think we are now on the usable side, and I don't think that we shouldn't go to the – further than this and try to explain in detail what is a charting organization and what is a charter and so on. So I think we're mostly done with this work, and going beyond this is really not helping anything anymore.
Okay. Marika, is that, do you feel like we have
Yes. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we went back afterward to say we forgot about those 2 points. So I'm very happy
here.
With the responses.
That's why you're here, is to make sure that we don't forget things. Great. So I will get this to Marika along with those, you know, I'll just get it to Marika so she can post it to the whole list and get it to the wiki. 7 days open, so by next Thursday, we will do it calls for consensus should be done on a list. We don't need another call. I'll put out a call for consensus, leave it open for 7 days. That should have it closing around the 27th. And let's see, that's another Thursday. And then I'd like to package it up and get it out by the 28th. So hopefully Jeff can get it done into the, you know, within that, I think November 15th or something, they need to have their documents together for the GNSO meeting. So what do you think? Is everybody happy with that? Super fantastic, wonderful. Yes.
Yes, Rick, just on the point of the cross-community working groups.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
So, I we've spoken currently a bit about it because I think as everyone is aware, there's several cross-community working groups currently going on, and we recently had the high-profile Recommendation 6 cross-community working group. So we're just wondering whether it would make sense to make a reference to that type of working group in this document. Although, of course, any working group, the charter organization is free to use this document, but maybe with a specific focus as well to make sure that participants in those working groups are aware that currently there is no formal model for policy development in a cross-community working group, so that any policy recommendations that would come out of such group would need to go through the respective chartering or advisory committees to become formal advice to the board if that is a desired outcome. I think it's just a clarification that we would like to see somewhere, and maybe this might be the appropriate place for it, and I would be interested to hear your feedback on it.
If anyone didn't see it, Arvi, I'll call on you as soon as I do this. Just I want to bring, did everyone see Cheryl's comments, or were they to me?
I didn't.
Did she basically said that she liked the staff suggestion because she felt like it gave credibility to these groups and sort of gave a nod towards a more collaborative working environment. So that's just her point of view. Aubrey.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that. I don't know, and it's part of what I said in my note, I don't know that we need to worry about what is done in terms of defining as policy or practice or whatever the work of these groups, because this working group model will be used both for PDPs and for non-PDP stuff. I think a lot of your paragraph was fine, so I'm wondering whether it's simpler just to talk about, because we always talk about a single chartering organization, and just to basically make it clear that it's chartering organization or chartering organizations who have agreed on a single charter. And I think the idea of, I hadn't thought of it, but what Cheryl says about it legitimizing the work is good. But I think if we just sort of open it up and said there can be more than one chartering organization for a group, as, for example, we've seen in the cross-working groups, et cetera. But I don't know that this group needs to do much defining of what happens to its output. And
okay, I agree with that. And here's what I would suggest. We have got 30 extra minutes in your day right now that I'm going to give you. Could you and Marika jump on the phone or by email hammer out a compromise with that language and then have you all add it to the document for consideration in the next 30 minutes or so? Aubrey?
I'm in to Marika, but yeah, I'm sure we could. We could either do it that way or passing it back and forth in email once or twice.
So either way, if you would just do it today and get it done, I'm going to give you this extra 30 minutes, and with that I'm going to call this to an adjournment. And we will circulate the document for comments to the list.
Marika didn't agree.
Oh, but Marika, she's got extra time. She'll do it.
Yeah, it's only at 9 o'clock my evening. I'll do it, no problem. But maybe, Afri, if you can just stay on the line and we just stop the recording.
Sure,
and
we can do that.
Now, if that works.
I could do that, of course.
That'd be super. The secretariat would stop the call. The rest of us would drop off. And ladies, I owe you a drink in Cartagena for this, and I mean that seriously. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.